we work in Hollywood. You know, we are on what's probably going to be the biggest project in Hollywood history. And Pastor Scott, I call him Great Scott. What do you guys call him? Just Scott? Not Great Scott. Scott, Salt Shaker, Pepper Shaker, Schmeck Pepper. I love that last name. That's great. Yeah. So yeah, I was coming over here. Yeah, well, a few months ago, and brought a lot of our kids. We have our third or fourth one with us today, and he'll come for the second service. He's still resting, but I just called ahead, and like he said, I don't like going someplace. I've been in 62 countries, and I never go to a place and just kind of walk around like a tourist that ate the wrong thing. Wow, look at that. I like landing someplace and meeting with somebody and taking off into a launching like Joshua. By the way, very excited about the Joshua study. You guys, my goodness, devour that thing. Joshua, it does say Dr. Drake by my name, and my doctorate is the transfer of leadership from Moses to Joshua. You know, Moses couldn't get, for 40 years, he couldn't get these guys to go in the promised land. Joshua takes over. They're in 4 days. What happened? What could have been better? And by the way, after Joshua died and the elders died, the country just... So they did a great job of conquering the land, but they didn't transfer the story to the kids. You have to do this. If there's no successor, there's no success. You've got to transfer the story to the kids. And we're talking about Hollywood this morning, and the kids are obsessed with Hollywood. It's probably the biggest influence in their life. In the 50s, kids were obsessed with getting their parents' blessing. Well, my parents to approve of me. I want them to say, good way to go, kid, that a boy. And a lot of their parents were World War II vets that didn't really connect with the kids real well, and that's why they went crazy at Woodstock the next idea. So a decade later, in the 60s, the kids just wanted to have each other, and the headbands and the VW vans, and oh, parents, they don't know nothing. Elvis had kind of taken over in the 70s. And but as time went on, it became... I'll just jump to today. The kids, they want to know what's going on with the latest movies and the latest games. That's the number one obsession. So it's interesting to me how God is invading this world in a really astounding way. And there's a story that was mentioned and put on the marquee out front. It talks about the men of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12. I'm just going to reference it quick. You can turn to it if you want to, but... It talks about the men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. What are we supposed to do? And you got to be wondering, what are we supposed to do? What are we doing today? And we have a very anti-Christian government on the West Coast, at least. There's a lot of other places in the Midwest where the governor gets up and, hey, guys, let's all pray together. That's not happening on the West Coast. Or the East Coast. It's just an interesting phenomenon. And we have a friend that, he was my barber a couple years ago, and he's moved and I've moved. But he used to always say, well, there's nothing you can do. Well, California is a million more in debt every day. Well, there's nothing you can do. Well, the pagans are taking over this and that. Well, there's nothing you can do. Oh, well, there's nothing you can do. We're running out of water. Oh, well, there's nothing you can do. Marty, stop saying that. The men of Issachar understood the times, and they knew what to do. What was going on at this time is Israel's all coming together, and they're counting the soldiers. How many here? How many here? You got to do that before you go off to war. Otherwise, you're heading into war with, swim trunks and a squirt gun on. You don't want to head into war unready. They want it so... So they're counting everybody, and they pause and have a big feast. And I love this at the end of 1 Chronicles 12. And there was plentiful supplies of flour and cakes and raisin cakes and wine and oil, sheep and cattle. And for there was joy in Israel. Isn't that great? You know, you go to China now, and China has triple the Christians that we do. How do you like that? When my grandparents went to Vietnam in 1924, you could fit all the Christians in the country in this half of the sanctuary. Today, there's pushing 17 million. And this is the story behind the war. Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. I mean, we did the audiobook, and I read from my grandfather's voice, and I'm stopping every 5 minutes. My wife's on the tech button. I said, stop in the studio. I said, stop. I just had to stop and cry all over the place. I can't believe what these guys did. And that's God at work. Well, God's at work here, and there's joy in Israel. And one chapter later, they get the ark, and they bring it back in. What a party. I loved it. Last night we were walking around, and we walked by the open sign downstairs. The youth, every Saturday nights? What happens every Saturday night?
It's our open rec night for the
teens. Yeah, keep going with that thing. Pour into this thing. They can overtake this island and have Catalina be a gospel bastion. I mean, would you like to see that? I would. I didn't come here to get some exercise and take a little tootie boat ride. I want to see Catalina a gospel hotbed, to where it's so much so that there's almost like a strange light coming off the island. And people on the boat thinking, what is happening there? And they're just drawn to it, and they can't even figure out why. I'll talk about that more in just a minute. And I don't mean to talk about the book, but the other one is it's a healing power, voice activated. There was a church in Africa that did exactly what I talk about in this book. Exactly. They were a Bible study, seven people, right here, seven people. Yeah, I haven't passed a math class in 38 years, but seven people did exactly what I said in bless each other with your words, restore them, and heal them. Seven people just took off through their county. 1 week later, those seven people was a church of 2,000. 1 week later. That's how Jesus drew them in. He didn't use Hershey kisses and free pens and fishing poles. And I saw this one church, you know, come to church and get a free whatever those things are called. And they're given what are these things called? iPads, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. And so they're just given away. And the kids came. Kids came by the hundreds. Jesus just took people's pain away. And they came by the thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. So you read that and you'll go, hey, I can do this too. And this can happen. And you very well could go to five services in no time here. And you may need to do 900 communion cups. I did this in a church in Washington years ago, and people were getting healed in there. And the pastor said, you know something? I'm sick of buying new buses because of you. We had to build an addition because of you. We used to do communion, it was just a few dozen. Now there's 700 coming to communion. And the elders are getting sick of all the setup and this and that. Not everybody likes it, you know. You do the gospel full tilt, and there's joy in the city. But not everybody's happy. But just so, you know, a little warning. it gets real fun real fast. What is God doing in Hollywood? Have you noticed there's biblical movies? I'm going to knock this off. You notice there's biblical movies coming on? I talked to the greatest mind in Hollywood 2 days ago. His name is Ted Baer. Write this down if you want and just Google this guy. He's just beyond fascinating. Ted Baer, B-A-E-H-R. He's on an airplane right now flying to Moscow. He's speaking in the Kremlin on Tuesday. They've asked him, how can we have better Christian entertainment in this country? The Kremlin? Putin? You know what Putin wants to do right now? I don't understand the Ukraine thing. And if you're watching the modern media, then we don't understand because you're not getting the straight story. Putin wants all of Russia to go back to church. Did you know that? We're not hearing that on the news. Oh, no, we're not. No. You hear about Ukraine, and again, I don't understand what's going on in Ukraine, and I'm not going to pretend that I do. But Putin wants that. So this guy, who I'm doing a lot of quoting of him today, he is going to speak at the Kremlin on Tuesday because they want to. How do we have a better Christian culture? We're talking on Friday. I said, Ted, are you kidding me? He says, no, it spun my head. So he's speaking to the Kremlin on Tuesday, and he is the guy that everybody checks with him before they release their movie now, including the pagan people. That just, if they want to throw one verse in there or throw one little Christian scene in there to do something, they check with Ted before they do it. Hollywood has not been a branch of Vacation Bible School these last 50 years. Yeah, in case you haven't figured that out. I remember watching stuff as a kid, and some cowboy would come through a big skirmish or whatever and get through the clear and the horse across the river, and the bad guys have all left, and he'd stop and just quote the 23rd Psalm while he's staring in a meadow. And I'm thinking, wow, this is just like church. But that stopped for a while. Ronald Reagan was the last Christian to run the Screen Actors Guild. He was in charge of the Screen Actors Guild, and he left in 1963. And so the remainder of the committee said, oh, great, there's no more Christians around here to tell us what to do. And so in 1963, some of you are old enough to remember that. I was 2 years old, but some of you remember, the movies just kind of dove. You know, very soon came out this really lurid, dark, weird stuff. The Exorcist, Rosemary's Baby. Don't see these things, for heaven's sakes. They should, with the rental of those things, they should put a barf bag attached to the back of the disc packet. It's just awful. And so much just wasteland stuff came out. You know, TV was called a vast wasteland in 1961. What's it now, a septic tank? I mean, it's like, holy tomatoes. If you saw the Emmys last Monday, just one show after another. It's like, oh, come on. You can't live like this and have your family hold together, or your home or your society hold together. TV is really dark. So from 1963 to 2013, you had it was just like, God, get out of here. That was kind of the buzz in Hollywood. And there's 9 studios, and like I said, they're not Vacation Bible School branches. But something's going on right now. Mark Burnett and Roma Downey, they're a couple. They live in Malibu, and you know, we've met them, and they're great people, so sweet people. I mean, when you meet Roma Downey, you are touched by an angel. I mean, I'm seeing my wife and Roma Downey talk, and we're having tea together. And Mark is as friendly as all get out. But Roma is like touching my wife's shoulder and touching her. She says, well, Serena, it's so nice to meet you. Here's a lady. I mean, she's beautiful, she's rich, she's powerful, she's in charge, and she's a cultural icon. And she's treating my wife like her favorite baby sister. I started crying. I thought, God, they're really great people. They had the guts to just launch out and film the Bible. It released Easter, March 2013, and they spent $40-something million filming this in Morocco. They filmed the whole thing in 45 days. But what they did is, you know, Roma's raised Catholic, and they're told to not read the Bible. Well, she and Mark read the Bible, and they said, I've been reading the Bible. I read through the Bible 3-4 times every year. Well, she read it for the first time ever, and she said, Mark, this should be a movie. One sentence. You know, ladies, you put your men to flight when you just talk to them, okay? Honey, can you fix the thing? Sure. You know, just say something sweet. Well, she's sweet, and she said that. Honey, this should be a movie. Off Mark goes. Starts putting it together. And that's why a record viewership, 100 million people watched the Bible. And Hollywood said, we have spent 50 years burying this book, and it's the hottest thing in this country. Gah! Drives them crazy. 100 million people. I mean, back when there were 3 channels, I remember 3 channels. Remember 3 channels only, ABC, NBC, and CBS? They stand for anything but conservative. Nothing, never been conservative, and forget it. But these networks, when there were only 3 networks, you couldn't get 100 million people to watch. Now there's 500 channels. I mean, you can log on and buy shampoo in Romania on the Info Channel and watch a German soap opera. There's so much stuff available. I love that song, 52 channels and nothing to watch. Well, now there's 500. There's no way you're going to get everybody. 100 million people key in and watch this thing, and Hollywood went, Oh, my word. But wait a minute. Maybe Jesus isn't bad for business. Because they've trained themselves that Jesus is bad for business. That's kind of, we're in Hollywood. You hear the stuff that's going on. So anyhow, what happened was Ted Bear, and I'm going to put his website up before the night's over. You know what I mean? Ted Bear went to these guys and said, you know something? You guys have been so anti-church. You think, oh, good, make our movies. You know, get them undressed. Get them swearing. Get them having affairs, this and that. And people, I'll just key in and watch this stuff. There's a mood right now in Hollywood, and it's called secular weary. People are kind of weary of the secular. Well, Ted Bear went to the Hollywood executives, and all of them, he's like the E.F. Hutton in Hollywood right now. You know, when Ted Bear talks, he does a show. It's bigger than the Oscars. More people want to come to this thing. And they pay four figures to come to his, they come by the thousands. And he gives so much away to charity, and he's explaining the gospel at the Kremlin on Tuesday. Oh, I love this. Ted Bear, he told the Hollywood executives, guys, you're wrong. You've been wrong for decades now. Every week in America, 20 million people on average go to a movie. Every week in America, 125 million go to a church. And some of them give 30, 50 times the price of them in their offering. I know people that give $1,000 a week in their offerings. Pastor, could you handle that? So six times as many plus people go to church as they do a movie. Now, if you'd make your movies a little more church-friendly, instead of all pastors are idiots, everybody that visits a confessional booth gets molested, all Sunday school teachers are dingbats lost in space and they look like something out of the Far Side, all Christian kids are nerds, all old people that are Christians are dupes. Would you guys, what is the matter with you? Be a more Christian-friendly and your profits will go up. Oh, really? You can't approach these guys that have been non-Christian all their lives and say, would you like to know Jesus? They don't get that. They say, quit fighting Jesus, and your economic woes will probably go away. And so they start putting Christian stuff in movies and saying, oh, you mean the public wants this? Listen to this. 2013, it was the year that Branch Rickey told Jackie Robinson that Jesus Christ was the strongest man who ever lived, and he was strong enough to turn the other cheek. And the country went, oh. 2013 was the year that the Bible won the ratings in the hearts of America. 2013 was the year that Tony Stark in Iron Man talked about people going to heaven and hell, and he took the villains to church. Wasn't popular for 50 years to put that in a movie. 2013 was the year that Clark Kent in Superman went to church to confess and find guidance from a pastor under a stained glass rendition of Jesus. I had goosebumps when I watched that last year. 2013 was the year that love and self-sacrifice became the spiritual weapons against socialism and tyranny in the Hunger Games. Did you watch the Hunger Games? I thought, look at all these people, the dingy hair, endless wealth and games and clowns, and all the people that are working out throughout the whole country are starving and dying while they're living it up. Kind of feels like Washington, D.C. You know the biggest Maserati dealership in the world now is in Washington, D.C.? Why is that happening? People are feeling more broke and more broke and more broke, and they're getting more rich and more rich, and they're getting jets and Maseratis and yachts, and they're telling the farmers and the small business all around the country, oh, just deal with it. Okay. 2013 was the year that Bilbo in The Hobbit dealt with the evil dragon. 2013 was the year that Christian hymns lifting up Jesus Christ were sung in Frozen. They sang it in the Old Norse language, so you didn't go, oh, I know those, you didn't know the words, but something in the hearts of America went, what is this? Frozen made $1 billion. And Hollywood went, oh, Frozen. The theme in Frozen is the Four Loves by C.S. Lewis. They snuck that in there brilliantly, too. And when a movie makes $1 billion, Hollywood goes, hey, oh. But it's all Christian themes. Monsters University, Christian ethics right out of the Bible. Turbo marketing plan. There was the, somebody giggled. Forget it, too much to explain. Oscar Diggs in Oz the Great and Powerful confesses and cries out to God for help. In Ryan Stone in Gravity, he asks for prayer and help from God while looking at a picture of Jesus Christ. The Croods take the leap of faith to follow the light. And we know who said, I am the light. In Grace Unplugged, the daughter comes home to Jesus Christ and her family. In Black Nativity, the teenage boy finds salvation. In 2013, Willie and Uncle Cy, two members of the Robinson clan, Duck Dynasty, come into Mike Baxter's store and they deal with Kyle's depression by quoting the Book of Mark and telling Kyle that Jesus was the greatest philosopher and came to give him life and life more abundantly. Last man standing. And on it goes. They even had Tom Selleck calling sin, sin on Blue Bloods. In 2013, sex and nudity did not sell. And now what's going on is people, they're tweeting immediately when they leave the theater. Whoa, saw the movie, that really stunk. Oh, it's awesome, you got to. And so this wasn't an issue 10 years ago. They know what the ratings are by Friday afternoon now, because it's a common communication clear across. And the kids are talking. Foul language, again, cut into ratings and made viewership go down. Rush lost money, Lone Ranger lost money, Bullet to the Head lost money, Gangster Squad lost money, hundreds of millions of dollars. And Hollywood, the pagans, went into a panic over this. Movie ticket sales are at a 15% drop, an 8-year low, and they're panicking over this. Simultaneously, the Son of God cleared $60 million, Heaven is for Real cleared $100 million, God's Not Dead cleared $70 million, The Hobbit and Frozen cleared well over $1 billion. Christian-themed movies made between $2 and $3 billion last year. And I don't mean to be quoting money so much in church here, but that's the only thing that gets Hollywood's attention. And they're realizing, wow, Jesus isn't bad for business. We thought, follow Jesus and go broke. Go to church and they just take all your money away. And it's a lie. And it's fading fast. But what's going on is in the works right now in Hollywood, there's a new Exodus movie coming out. I hope you didn't see Noah. And so in as they're still sifting this out, they think, oh, just make a Christian Bible something movie and you'll make money. Okay, good. So they make Noah. Did you see Noah? If you say no, good. I mean, they just didn't know, and they did what they usually do. Well, there's the book version, then there's the movie version. And Hollywood's also already realized, wow, if we're going to do something biblical, we've got to follow the Bible. And, you know, Aronofsky, who did Noah, the stone statues, this and that, Noah needs to kill the rest of the humans. And it's never really an actual God talking to Noah. Just Noah just kind of has this ethereal dream. So Noah didn't do so well, and people were like, yuck. And so the pagans in Hollywood went, hey, here's a biblical movie. And I heard them trying to pull in Christians, and they tried to get Pope Francis to endorse it. Russell Crowe and the guys, they go to Rome, and the Pope doesn't even want to meet with them. And he wasn't mean about it. He's like, oh, I saw it. It's revolting. It's not right. And it didn't do real well. So, but in the midst of that, they've already realized if you're going to do something biblical in Hollywood, you need to do it biblically. They've just realized that in the last 12 months. This is a great change over the last 50 years. And that's what's driving them crazy. You know, the Son of God, Yeah, you know, boomed, heaven is for real, boom, very clear pictures of Jesus. And they're saying, we have spent all these decades burying Jesus, and he just won't die. Or he just keeps coming back to life. And they go, well, that's in the Bible. It is? We work in Israel. I finished college in Israel. I like Israel stuff. But some of the Jews that work in Hollywood are atheists. Isn't that weird? How can you be an atheistic Jew? Are you kidding me? Like a Christian with no cross. Or like, what? So, but they've kind of equated. They said, well, the Christians work together with the Nazis, so Jesus is trying to kill us. The devil has a lot of fun with lies. So one of what's going on is Jesus is resurging in Hollywood, and there will be in 2015, there will be a Christian, fully, clearly Christian movie released every week next year. There'll be 52 Christian movies released in 2015. And they say very soon they can see 2/3 of all movies produced in Hollywood with a strong Christian theme. And that's right around the corner. Things are changing. God is working in Hollywood. Did you know that most of the revivals in the world that have happened in the last 120 years have started in California? Did you know that? God wants this land for him and his glory again. And he's using a lot of pain. You know, we're running out of water. We're running out of money. We're running out of sanity, running out of peaceful neighborhoods. God wants this land, and therefore the devil wants it too. And God can use Catalina as an amazing highlight. You see this? There was a sign up there that said, "Hooray for Hollywood." Well, the issue is, "Hooray for Hollywood." I'll just end with this. My wife and I are embroiled in the movie that follows The Passion of the Christ. 100 million people saw The Passion of the Christ. 3 million people got saved, and the gospel is not explained. How did that happen? People went to the movie, The Passion of the Christ, and they remembered, you know, remember me. Remember me. This is what it said. Don't forget. And they remembered what Jesus did for them. So people got saved. 3 million of them. Pastors were flying out of their seats. Who wants to follow Jesus? And they turn around and start talking to the crowded theater. And people just come forward. Prostitutes, criminals, drug addicts are coming to the altar. I was a Christian as a child. I got to come back. And 3 million people got saved. We're doing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our finances are being in final negotiation right now, and what we're planning on doing is the final minute on the cross, Jesus' death, and the 40 days following. We're going to do the Road to Emmaus. We're spending over $1 million filming the Road to Emmaus scene, just that. We're spending probably around $1 million just doing the Thomas scene. So when Jesus says, "Thomas, it's me, touch my hands. Touch my hands, Thomas. Touch my side. It's me."
I believe.
Yeah. So these are baby back ribs here. But when Thomas touches his hand, we're going to do this in 3K, 3D, with a 4K lens, pulled in with some, I never get this word right, fractaling, ruch, dividing, lucinary. It's something that is making Hollywood go, whoa, the latest technology is blowing the minds of people inside. It'll be the clearest picture of Jesus the world has ever seen. When you watch this, and you can play them here, you can have more here than the you're going to be allowed to stream it opening minute here. Midnight Palm Sunday. We hope it's 2016, might be 2017. But Jesus will be so real, you'll think he just walked into the room and stood on your toes. And the Avatar people that did the graphics, they're Christians now. They've come to us and said, "We'll do the heaven scene because we're going to follow Jesus back to heaven." Revelation 21, 22, and it'll be the clearest description of heaven, greater than anything's ever seen. And we're using technology that will be a 16-year update on Avatar Amazing graphic, silly story, but that's James Cameron. So when Jesus takes you back to heaven at the end, you'll see the crystal sea and the diamond pillars and piles of sapphires and emeralds and sardonyx and chalcedon and onyx gems and swans that look like rainbows and skies and Hubble telescope photos swirling. Like, oh my Lord, I want to go there. And Jesus is going to say at the end with his nail-pierced hand and say, I'm building this for you. I told you. As he's standing there, we'll probably have the thief on the cross. And the thief on the cross said, wow, I'm here. And he'll say, I told you you'd be here. Just call my name. He said, Jesus, remember me, and I never forget. And I told you you'd be here today, and I never lie to anyone, ever. Just call my name. Let me in, and I'll let you in. I love that description of the gospel. The movie will end something like that, but anyhow, it's coming and streamed open to the whole world. We're doing it in 40 languages. I am right on time here. Well, you can watch this in Swahili in Africa. You can watch it in Russian, Indonesian, Punjabi, all through the Asian too. You can watch it in Arabic and Farsi. And we're praying already. We're opening this thing to the web. And we're having a tracking Google. My wife knows this technology. But 100 million people can download this movie per minute and it won't crash our site. We're already praying that 1 billion people get saved the first week this comes out. Pray for Hollywood. Pray for this, because the agenda of Hollywood is that people understand Jesus, and that will soon overtake the whole city.